This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin, who is helping me field questions that you email to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. And so what's our next question, Layla?
All right. We've got an email from Denise. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I had empathy for a recent caller with the irritated bladder and burning urination. I've just been through this myself for the third and last time, and I thought I would chime in. Baking soda with a glass of pure water is a great treatment. I add a half teaspoon of baking soda to about a cup of water and drink this a couple of times a day if I have symptoms. Some people add fresh lemon too. Once I did this, I could recognize all the triggers as they came through the pike. So there is actually a product. First of all, there is a product called Preleaf, which is very helpful with bladder discomfort caused by foods. It basically reduces...
What's in it?
Preleaf, basically it reduces the acid in the foods. But I believe it's a type of bicarb.
Okay, because sodium bicarb, the only disadvantage of sodium bicarb is a lot of sodium.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it has, this Preleaf has potassium bicarbonate, which would be better for blood pressure.
That would actually be better. Let's see here. They do say that they're able to reduce the acid by 90 to 95%. I'm actually not finding what it is that they use. So the baking soda, because it's baking soda, and the sodium is not necessarily going to be great to take all that much of.
Okay.
But just so everybody's aware, anybody that suffers from interstitial cystitis or bladder discomfort that may be caused by food, Denise also says that her irritable bladder, what started it was red wine.
Oh, and, yeah, that's a real histamine challenge.
Right, and she says it was not the cheap stuff either, only certified biodynamic, which is something that's starting to happen lately with wineries, which is interesting. So what Denise started doing at that time was taking cranberry supplements, but cranberry is not great for interstitial cystitis.
Right.
It's actually an irritant.
It's more for cranberry prevents infections, but it could be a urinary irritant.
That's right. Exactly.
So I'm looking at Preleaf, and the ingredients are calcium glycerophosphate, which is preferable to that sodium load.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So that, I guess, is the ingredient that helps to lower.
A popular medication for that is something called Elmeron, but it only works to some extent. And MSM may also have some benefits in that, you know, oral MSM.
Okay.
Because DMSO has been used in bladder installations. I used to do this in the office. I used to, you know, hang a bag of DMSO and directly put it into the bladder of women with interstitial cystitis and provide them with relief. But the side effects are that you really smell bad.
Yeah.
You exude this sort of garlicky smell. It's hard to characterize that smell. But that'll, you get an elevator after you've had one of those treatments, and people will just wrinkle their nose. Like, what's going on with that? Yeah. Very strange. Interstitial cystitis is a tough kind of problem.
It is. And there's actually a long, long list of foods to avoid.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, it starts with almost fruit juices, anything acidic. Then it goes on to things like aspirin. Aspirin can be an irritant. Any vinaigrettes like balsamic, beer, barbecue sauce, blackberries, chili with beans, carbonated beverages, horseradish.
And that is an IC diet?
Yeah. These are the foods that are very acidic to avoid.
Okay.
And it's a little bit different. You know, there are many individuals who have particular trigger foods or beverages that they avoid, and as long as they do that, they're okay. For example, coffee, coming back to coffee. Mm-hmm. Some people say, if I have a cup of coffee, that's it. My bladder is in discomfort all day. So best to avoid.
Even if you don't have interstitial cystitis and you have like urinary frequency, it might be worth trying this kind of diet or trying Preleaf as a means of addressing that.
Right. Other foods are things like tomato products, wines, Worcestershire sauce, a lot of different condiments, a lot of different vegetables too. Red cabbage, red pepper, sauerkraut.
Sounds like you're eliminating a lot of really good foods.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. So, Denise, thank you very much for chiming in and sharing this information. Be careful the amount of baking soda that you're taking. You may want to opt more for this Preleaf product, which you could find at any local drugstore. It's over the counter. Something that's over the counter. They also direct you on how many tablets to take with the types of foods you're eating, which is also helpful.
Great. Okay, and now for something completely different. We're going to pause for a couple of seconds for this brief announcement.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Okay, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. Back to questions. What's next, Layla?
Okay, we've got here an email from Carol. I listen to your show every weekend and I learn a lot from your information. What supplements would you suggest for gum health? I have tooth sensitivity as well as recession, gingivitis, possibly leading to periodontal disease. Can I just tell Carol to go get a teeth cleaning, please?
Yeah.
Some people wait too long.
Also go to a periodontist, a specialist who...
Right.
I mean, presumably she got that diagnosis via a periodontist.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah.
Right. So nutritionally, couple of things. First of all, I would recommend using xylitol.
Yes.
It's funny, I had dinner last night with the head of that company, Nate Jones.
Uh-huh.
It's a wonderful company, the Clear Company, Exelear. And they doing a lot of really interesting research. We recently had Dr. Ferrer on, who's a wonderful find. He's an ear... He's actually a pulmonary physician who is a big proponent of Clear for chronic nasal problems, for asthma, you know, respiratory tract problems. You spray it in your nose. But this is the dental application of that.
Yeah.
It protects the teeth, but it also protects the gums because biofilms are associated with periodontal disease. That's where the bacteria hide. And if you break up the biofilms, you can actually reduce the bacterial colonization of your gums in the recesses between your teeth and your gums, where there's a pocket.
Yeah.
And so I would recommend using, it's called Spry, S-P-R-Y, gum or mouthwash. Mm-hmm. But you got to do it several times a day. Or you can use little pastilles, these little, sucking charms. And they're sweet, but they're non-caloric.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very good way to prevent the bacterial buildup. And of course, you use Spry toothpaste. The other thing is coenzyme Q10.
Oh, yes.
For gum disease. There's some good studies on that.
And, you know, I've had patients tell me anecdotally that they don't have bleeding when they get their cleanings anymore.
Yep.
Bleeding gums while they're flossing.
Yeah.
So, which is indicative of
gingivitis. And, of course, vitamin C with bioflavonoids.
Oh, yes.
Because
vitamin C.
Because of the, the cardinal symptom of scurvy is bleeding gums and loose teeth. And so while most Americans don't have scurvy, although it can occur, there were actually case reports of scurvy. And in fact, I'm going to interview, in a couple of weeks, I'm interviewing a guy who's written a book called The History of Scurvy, which is about the discovery of vitamin C. But also, His point is that scurvy has not disappeared from the Western world because people are on such crappy diets.
It's making a comeback.
Yeah. So the interview is scheduled for it's April 3rd. So for those of you listening after April 3rd, we post these podcasts usually a couple of days later. You can listen to the interview with Jonathan Lamb about a book called The History of Scurvy.
Mm.
But what prompted my interest in the book was to, I read an account of people who were admitted to hospital with these, you know, weird symptoms of lassitude and you know, bleeding gums. And this temperature. What's causing this? And they had such abysmal diets that they weren't getting any vitamin C.
Wow.
And this was in, I think, Australia, you know, some westernized country, you know, so it.
Not a strawberry or a red pepper or an orange anywhere?
That would do it.
A little lemon juice somewhere?
Yeah. Just a little bit of that would fix it, mm-hmm. you know, because it doesn't take that much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Wow. Now, Carol also has tooth sensitivity as well as recession. That recession I like calling getting long in the tooth.
Yes.
As we get older.
Very good, yeah.
Tooth sensitivity is something, you know, you have to speak to your dentist about. I know my own mother, who suffered from extreme tooth sensitivity, had to have a bunch of fillings up near her roots.
Right.
Or at the tops of her teeth
that's,
to help her.
It occurs
her.
When the enamel is breached and you get towards the dentine, which has nerves underlying. And, you know, it's often at the gum margin is where the sensitivity occurs. You know, there's actually some evidence that strontium may be beneficial for that.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, we might suggest strontium that might help.
Another thing I found out, Carol, don't brush your teeth too hard. Only use a soft bristle brush.
Yeah, that too.
You would be surprised when I was shown the amount of pressure that should be on your tooth. It's not much at all.
Right.
Really.
People want to brush.
They're brushing their gums away.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
So that can cause more sensitivity.
Yeah. Some people brush their teeth the way they might scrub a sink or
something.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're like, get those hard bristles and like,
No. Right. It's not meant for that. Yeah.
Right. And okay. So let's comment on flossing.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's like one of these daily virtues, like, you know, say your prayers, floss your teeth, you know, do some aerobic exercise, you know, eat, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Actually, the flossing has come under some degree of controversy lately. I know there's even some holistic dentists who say, you know, it doesn't seem to make a difference.
Hmm.
It doesn't seem to make a difference whether you floss or not.
I can't imagine, because I have heard people say, my dentist didn't have to do that much cleaning on me because I floss every day and they didn't find much calculus or tartar.
Here's the thing. When I go to the dentist for my routine cleaning, they say, oh, you're doing a good job with your flossing. and floss once every couple of weeks.
Right.
And you know,
I'm a lazy flosser too.
Yeah. And I think it's good diet. You know,
I think it's good. Yeah. Well, I am blessed. I've not, in my 50s here, I've not had any dental issues at all.
Lucky you.
So it's hereditary too.
Yeah,
that kind of runs in my family, but I don't take that for granted. I imagine. And there is a such thing as flossing too hard as well. You can damage your gums.
Right.
You want to be careful.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself doing that either.
You're just trying to.
These are the things I've learned over the years.
Dislodge the particles and the bacteria.
Exactly.
Colonies.
Exactly. Don't use mouthwash containing alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Well, alcohol dries your mouth.
There's chemicalized mouthwashes like Listerine.
Yeah.
You know what is interesting, too, is that, you know, these nitric oxide gets made from dietary nitrates.
Yeah.
And when you use mouthwash, you actually eradicate the bacteria that are responsible for converting dietary nitrates into nitric oxide. So one could say that mouthwash could lead to high blood pressure.
Look at that.
Directly.
You're changing the microbiome of your mouth.
Yes, which
you're
is
killing
essential.
Off the beneficial stuff.
There are beneficial bacteria that exist in the oral flora.
Right.
I think in the future they may also have oral probiotics. They may invent oral probiotics which are protected, where you actually want to put good bacteria in which compete with the harmful bacteria. I know that some companies have this on the drawing boards now. And it's going to be not in the form of something you swallow, but something that you know chew or swish around in your mouth.
Swish around or suck on like a hard candy or something
that
like that.
It dispenses a good oral probiotic.
Mm-hmm. So, Carol, first order of business, please follow up with your dentist or periodontist.
Yep.
Thank you for your question.
Good discussion.
Yeah. We've got an email from Carrie. Carrie writes, this is from Canada. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, as a regular listener to your podcast, I want to thank you for your fact-based information. Your show is a great public service. You're welcome, Carrie. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am 50-plus male with mild cataracts. My 78-year-old mother is on the cusp of having cataract surgery, but she's reluctant to have the procedure. I recently came across a study using N-acetylcarnosine, 1% NAC, 1% eye drops.
To be distinguished from N-acetylcysteine, which is also called NAC.
Right, N-acetylcarnosine.
Carnosine, right. C-A-R-N-O-S-I-N-E.
Would this be an effective treatment for either of us?
Okay. Well, it's an interesting story, and I've looked at it, ostensibly, if you Google N-acetylcarnosine eye drops, you will actually be directed to some scientific studies that document the efficacy of these eye drops in terms of not only slowing the progression of cataracts, but reversing cataracts. Wow. Now, I find that kind of hard to believe, because the analogy for cataracts is when you put a fried egg in the pan and the clear white egg white opacifies under the effects of heat. That's a little bit what happens, except it takes 2 minutes in a pan and it takes 40 or 50 or 60 years in an eye. The clear lens opacifies, and it's actually the same principle. It's proteins are being cross-linked slowly as opposed to rapidly in the pan. In the body, our proteins cross-link due to the effects of aging, free radicals, and sugar. You know, mostly sugar will accelerate that. So this is a natural aging process. And once, you know, I don't know that there's anything which can take an egg white and turn that egg white into a raw egg white.
Yeah.
You know, the cross-linking has occurred. So it's almost like you have to unravel these cross-links and make them go back to what they were before. So to me, that's a challenging idea. But then there are these studies that show improvement. So what I noticed is that there are not that many studies.
Yeah.
The studies are small. The studies are done in foreign journals, which is always a little suspect, because I'm not sure that, frankly, just like in the newspapers, there's fake news, and there are studies that are sort of, rigged to prove a point. Now, this happens with even the biggest drug companies, but also sometimes with nutraceuticals. And I notice that the author of these studies, it's always the same guy who is the author of the studies. And oh, by the way, the product is a proprietary product of his.
Ah.
And what is his name? Do we have a name here?
Yeah.
The name of the product is Dr. I said, our literature search of peer-reviewed publications related to N-acetylcarnitine found that virtually all information on the subject had been published by Dr. Babajayev and his colleagues. Interestingly, the publishers are not only research scientists who discovered and patented the formulation of N-acetylcarnosine, but they also have disclosed interest in a company called Innovative Vision Products, the manufacturer of a product called CAN-C, which is N-acetylcarnosine. With this in mind, one may recognize the potential bias that may exist, leaving the scientific and medical community with an interest in further evidence-based research investigating the efficacy of NAC. Okay, so blah, 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 blah. I think it's more plausible that NAC may slow the progression or prevent the damage to the crystalline lens. But I got to say that there's not that persuasive body of evidence on it.
Right. I've read some that vitamin C is helpful to keep the lens from hardening.
People are going to say, well, but there are studies.
Yeah.
And I think it's also plausible that if you take antioxidants and if you eat a healthy diet and if you protect your eyes from sunlight and you don't smoke, because smoking definitely can accelerate this, that you will get some protection against cataracts.
Yeah.
But I will also say this, is that we're living longer and longer. And by the time most people are 90 or 100, it's virtually certain that they will have cataracts to some degree or another. And the surgery has become superb for that.
Yes.
So that what ends up happening is you get this operation. It sounds like, oh, I don't want an operation in my eyes. Oh, I don't want somebody to put a scalpel in my eyes. Well, okay. It's done with such precision now.
Oh, yeah.
And you end up with better vision.
Yes. My mother, who's 80, recently had both of her eyes done. She now has bionic vision.
Right, bionic.
She doesn't even need her reading glasses anymore. Well, she no longer is wearing her eyeglasses. I'm almost jealous.
There's a type of implant. I think that it's a multi-tiered thing where you can get your cataracts done with the generic Medicare implant. Or, you know, if you spend a little extra in a copay, you might get the more deluxe ones that are like internal reading glasses.
Yeah.
They actually will correct your vision from inside. Mm-hmm. And then you can, you know, it's a major vision correction.
And I accompanied her to both of those surgeries and went off without a hitch. I mean, it was not worrisome at all. And, you know, it was the best possible outcome for her.
You know, this is one of the marvels of medical technology. And
I have many elderly relatives. Once they get into their 80s, they're found to have cataracts. So they've done the same.
You know, I mean, I would like to avoid any kind of medical intervention from cradle to grave. But I think at some point, a corrective surgery.
You're going to live to be 118. You might have something.
There's some consequences. There's some consequences. You have to pay the piper sometimes.
Right. Oh, Carrie, so don't be afraid of cataract surgery. Wow, that's the first time I've said don't be afraid of surgery.
Right.
But this, you know, Okay.
We have time for a question.
We've got an email from Burton. Burton writes, if Raynaud's syndrome is mitigated by a vasodilator, why not prescribe Viagra?
Well, that's an interesting question. And Viagra is a premier vasodilator. We know that it works.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's some evidence that use of things like arginine, which also works on the nitric oxide pathway, may help Raynaud's. I just read an article on Raynaud's.
Yeah.
There's taking dietary nitrates like beets may have a vasodilating effect. It certainly
Celery,
could support that.
Greens.
So the problem is that these medications, these phosphodiesterase inhibitors, they include Cialis and Levitra and Viagra, will work transiently. And so they also have side effects at the doses which would promote circulation of the hand. So it turns out, you know, a lot of people, when they get headaches, they go, oh, the blood vessels in my head are clamping down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, no. It's actually the vasodilation is associated with headaches.
That's why a strong cup of coffee may help.
Yes.
Like in a migraine.
To vasoconstrict a little bit. And, you know, that's also why, you know, you may want to put an ice pack on your head. That causes vasoconstriction to constrict blood vessels. So, actually, a major side effect of Viagra at high doses is you get a headache.
Ah.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you haven't taken it, so you don't know.
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think you had.
Well, I haven't either, but that's I hear tell. So you know, you trade you know, get rid of your cold hands maybe transiently for a couple hours, but you could give yourself a headache, and plus it's probably not you know, that good. I mean, it's cost prohibitive. Now, an interesting thing about Viagra is that it was originally pioneered as a long-acting nitrate for the heart to promote heart circulation.
That's how it started, right?
And it didn't work. It didn't really work well. Huh. But at the end of the experiment, and I remember this because I covered this story when it first came out. I actually covered it in an article for Penthouse Magazine when I was a science writer, medical writer for Penthouse Magazine. And of course, that was right up the alley for Penthouse Magazine, right? Right in their wheelhouse is like a new innovative breakthrough for men's sexual health, right? So I covered that story. What happened was they did the study in England, and the men got this medication, and they didn't know whether they were getting a placebo or not.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the study, they paid them. They said, thank you very much. go on your way. And so some of the men said, you know, this is a little kind of embarrassing question, but when I took that stuff, there's some really interesting things that happened. And I'm wondering, is this going to be available? And they said, no, sorry, because we're going to have to like process this data. And they said, no, but we would like to get a hold of this stuff. So they said, interesting. What did you notice? And they said, so they reported that they had sexual
benefits. That they were
benefits.
18 again.
Right. So then they said, well, maybe forget that heart thing. Yeah. Maybe we've discovered a new. So it was actually a serendipitous discovery.
Wow.
What's interesting is now, this is like, that was like 20 or more years ago, 25 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. What they discovered now is that it turns out there may be some heart benefits to Viagra.
Oh.
So they may retool it as a drug for people who have angina, you know, coronary artery blockage and exertional angina or exertional breathlessness due to poor circulation of the heart. Because some people need that type of medication. I'm not sure if it's going to be offered as Viagra, whether they're going to tweak it or rename it. You know, that's something they do. But
this reminds me of the question you hear on those drug ads. First, ask your doctor if you're healthy enough for sex. So now you can be healthy enough if it's a heart drug and you could have a sex life.
Right. It's you know,
win-win.
But, you know, I always say, you know, what man ever asks their doctor, Doctor, am I healthy enough for sex?
Right.
I don't think that's probably ever happened in the history of
probably
medicine.
Not. Yeah.
So, because, you know, every man is heroic in their own mind in that, when it comes to that.
So this likely wouldn't work for Raynaud's, only temporarily, and is that any good?
Yeah. Formally speaking, I'm not sure it's been tested, and I'm not sure it would work.
Okay,
but good thought, and it triggers an interesting discussion. Thanks for that question.
Yes,
that's all the time that we have. Time has expired on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. Please note that these podcasts continue to be a free service to you, and we enjoy getting the word out. It's very gratifying to us that it's helped you in many ways, and we get nice feedback. And we'd also like to encourage you to support our continued efforts by patronizing the Hoffman Center store, which you can find at drhoffman.com, where you can find some of the greatest supplements at the best prices, and many of the hard-to-find products that we mentioned here on this broadcast can be found there. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Layla, for today.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.